Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord, church. Come on. Praise the Lord, church. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's a mighty, mighty worship in the house of the Lord today. He's honored today, church. Have a seat. Have a seat. One Easter morning, a woman was on her way to church when her car broke down. Not wanting to be late for the special service, she ordered an Uber to pick her up. The car arrived and she quickly jumped in the back. Halfway through the ride, she asked the driver a question, but the driver didn't respond. So she leaned forward and tapped the driver on the arm, and the driver let out a scream, swerved into the other lane, almost hit another car, and slammed on the brakes and skidded over to the shoulder. The woman and the driver sat in silence for a minute from the shock of what had just happened. Finally, she said apologetically, "Wow, I'm so sorry. I had no idea that tapping you on the shoulder would alarm you like that." "No, you really didn't do anything wrong. It's just that it's my first day driving an Uber. You see, for the past 25 years, I've been driving a hearse." He's alive. For a Sunday school Easter program, 5-year-old Billy was asked to recite Luke 24, verse 6. "He is not here, he is risen." Despite practicing it several times, when he stood in front of the church, he froze. He could not remember what to say. The director leaned over and whispered the verse in the little boy's ear. Billy smiled, grabbed the microphone, and confidently proclaimed, "He's not here, he's in prison." These are true stories, folks. Easter is a message of resurrection, isn't it? Jesus is in control. That's the title of my message today. Jesus is in control. Everything else is out of control. Everything. Don't expect things to be in control around you. Don't expect people to make the right decisions. Don't expect the world to honor Easter, our faith. But Jesus is in control. What a great message for us this morning. And I believe that Jesus wants to resurrect something in you today. Now, you might be even full of doubt. Even after I've said that statement, a little bit in you says, no, I think I'm full of too much doubt. I've got too many questions. There's too much grieving and loneliness, and there's too much despair, and I'm too angry. I think this is just who I am. I don't think it ever could change, but that's not true. That's a lie from the enemy. Jesus truly wants to resurrect something in you today. And I think my entire message could be summed up like this on this wonderful Easter morning, is that Jesus loves you, he's alive, and he's in control today. John chapter 18, verses 1 through 8 read as follows. After saying these things, Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley with his disciples and entered a grove of olive trees. Judas, the betrayer, knew this place because Jesus had often gone there with his disciples. The leading priests and Pharisees had given Judas a contingent of Roman soldiers and temple guards to accompany him. Now, let me stop right there just for a second, because in a lot of commentaries that you read, that word contingent of Roman soldiers and temple guards can mean up to 1,000 people came to arrest Jesus. And they came with this, it continues on in verse 3. "Now with blazing torches, lanterns, and weapons, they arrived at the grove." Let me remind you, everything else is out of control. Jesus is in control. What a wonderful Easter message today. Verse 4. Jesus fully realized all that was going to happen to him, so he stepped forward to meet them. "Who are you looking for?" he asked. "Jesus the Nazarene," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. As Jesus said, "I am he," they all drew back and fell to the ground. How many? 1,000. Once more, he asked them, "Who are you looking for?" And again, they replied, "Jesus the Nazarene." "I told you that I am he," Jesus said. "And since I am the one you want, let these others go." He did this to fulfill his own statement, "I did not lose a single one of those you have given me." It's Easter. The calendar says it's Easter. But I wonder if your world and your life feel like celebrating today. I wonder if things in your life have a sense of resurrection, have a sense of life and light and joy and peace and purpose to it. I wonder if you're walking in the same kind of season that we're in here around the world this morning. But the truth of all that is you probably aren't. You probably aren't feeling the resurrection life, maybe as if the calendar says it's Resurrection Sunday. Maybe you're not walking step in step with this calendar. Maybe today it feels like, no, I wish this thing was solved. I wish that problem was fixed. I wish I didn't have that sickness to deal with. I wish that the world was going more this way. It doesn't feel like things are in control. And it's true, folks. Things are not under control according to the world as it governs it. But Jesus is in control as he governs it today. You see, you've got problems. I've got problems. Maybe it even feels like today 1,000 people are coming against you. But I want to tell you right now that Jesus looks at 1,000 people, 1,000 problems that are coming against you and says, "I am he." He says those same words today. The message still reigns true today. The message is still the same today, that he stands as the problems approach. He stands with you, beside you, within you, around you, in front of you, behind you, everywhere around you. And he speaks to all those problems. And he says, "I am he." Amen. Isn't that a wonderful message today? Jesus does it all the time, and he wants to do it again for you today. He wants to turn your tragedy into a testimony. He did it this very weekend, where he turned a tragedy into a testimony. He did it 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago when he rose from the dead, and I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that he's still doing it today. Many of us in this room are a walking testimony of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. We were once dead, and now we are alive. And I've had so many of you tell me, if it wasn't for Jesus, I'm very certain I would already be dead. I wouldn't even be on this earth. That's the power of Jesus, to forgive, to replace anger with love, to replace doubt with belief, to replace whatever it is that you're dealing with today. Let Jesus take that thing. Let Jesus replace it with himself. He wants to step on in today. I always think about my life like a big bucket of water, all full to the brim. Anybody else just life feel full to the brim? You ever seen the science experiments where they fill the thing up with water and you can actually see the water crest above the top of a glass or a bowl or a bucket, whatever the water's in? It's full. It's full to the brim. Life is full, and it feels like that. And boy, if you're walking in sin and darkness today, your bucket's so full, you're way overwhelmed today, okay? But what happens when Jesus comes in? He jumps inside the bucket, and all that water just goes away, and he becomes what used to be in that bucket. All that stress, all that anxiety, all that worry, all that sin, all that darkness, all that fear, all that anger, it just goes away. And he stands in that within you today. He replaces all that within you. You know, Jesus died at the age of 33, very young. At the time he died, the crucifixion was the worst death. Only the worst criminals were condemned to be crucified. The worst. I've read the Bible many times. Jesus did not deserve this. Yet it was even more dreadful for Jesus than even the worst criminals. Unlike other criminals condemned to death by crucifixion, Jesus was nailed to the cross by his hands and feet. Each nail was 6 to 8 inches long. The nails were driven into the wrist, not into the palms, as is commonly portrayed. There's a tendon in the wrist that extends to the shoulder. The Roman guards knew that when the nails were being hammered into the wrist, that tendon would tear and break, forcing Jesus to use his back muscles to support himself so that he could breathe. Both of his feet were nailed together. Thus, he was forced to support himself on the single nail that impaled his feet to the cross. Jesus could not support himself with his legs because of the pain, so he was forced to alternate between arching his back, then using his legs to continue to breathe. Just imagine the struggle, the pain, the suffering, the courage. This really happened. Jesus endured this reality for over 3 hours. Yes, over 3 hours. Can you imagine this kind of suffering? A few minutes before he died, Jesus stopped bleeding. He was simply pouring out water from his wounds. From common images, we see wounds to his hands and feet, and even the spear wound into his side. But do we realize that his wounds were actually made in his body? A hammer driving large nails through the wrist, the feet overlapping, and an even larger nail hammered through the arches. Then a Roman soldier guard piercing his side with a spear. But before the nails and the spear, Jesus was whipped and he was beaten. The whipping was so severe that it tore the flesh from his body, the beating so horrific that his face was torn, and his beard, they said they would pull his beard out of his face. The crown of thorns cut deeply into his scalp. Most men would have never survived that torture. He had no more blood to bleed out. Only water began to pour from his wounds. Each human adult contains 3.5 liters of blood. That's just less than a gallon of blood. So Jesus poured all 3.5 liters of his blood out. He had 3 nails hammered into his members, a crown of thorns on his head, and beyond that, a Roman soldier who would then stab him right in the chest. All these without mentioning the humiliation he suffered after carrying his own cross for almost 2 kilometers. While he carried his cross, the crowd spat at him, threw stones at him, all while he carried his own cross. Jesus endured this experience. Why? Why? To open the gates of heaven for me. For you. So that you could have access to God. So that your sins could be washed away, all of them. No exception. No sin too great. No person too far gone. There's no person who can't be saved. There's no time or place a person can't be saved. You can be saved from an early breath as a young child, and you can be saved even with your last breath if you call upon Jesus and ask him to help you. Jesus Christ died for us, for people. And you will see today as we continue this message that Jesus did absolutely everything correctly during his last day on earth. And everyone else did everything incorrectly during his last day on earth. Jesus was in control. I always remember learning about Jesus dying on the cross and all the torment and torture he went through that final day he was alive. And I thought to myself, why? Why? This is so unfair. This doesn't make sense. This doesn't add up. Even our worst criminals get treated better than this. Murderers get treated better than this. Why? Why? He was in control, purposely marching toward the cross for all of us. Had to shed his blood for me and for you. There had to be shedding of blood. That's the way it was. That's the way God intended it to be. Before Jesus, there was animal sacrifice. There was shedding of blood to wash away. That's how terrible sin is. It takes the shedding of blood to wash it away. That's how terribly disgusting and horrible it is in the sight of God for his creation to sin. But if you ask for forgiveness, the power of the blood cleanses you, washes you clean, cleans you. You're totally forgiven, 100% totally forgiven. You know, Jesus' trial, his trial was held at night. And did you know, according to Jewish custom, this was contrary to their own law? I told you, you'll see today that everybody else was out of control, and Jesus was completely in control. The world is out of control, but Jesus is completely in control today. Amen. What a message we have this morning. Also, trials were never supposed to occur on the eve of a Sabbath or a festival, but this one was happening on that day. The law required even a day to pass before a verdict was given. That didn't happen either. The Sanhedrin should not meet in the high priest's palace. The normal meeting place was on the Temple Mount. Jewish law itself opposed false witnesses. And did you know the punishment for a false witness was execution? Is life coming at you unfairly today? Well, I would say yes for every single one of us. But Jesus is in control. What do you do? What do you do if life's coming at you unfairly today? It's not coming at me fairly. That wasn't fair. That I didn't deserve that. Why is this happening to me? Jesus went through it all. Jesus knows exactly how you're feeling today. Nothing done to Jesus this day was fair. Nothing that happened to Jesus was fair. He didn't deserve any of it. It was all done out of control and out of whack. And none of that should have happened. None of this should have happened to Jesus. Jesus is in control. Amen, church. What do you do then if life's out of control, if things feel out of control? You do what Jesus did. You put your life into the hands of your heavenly Father. Trust him today, totally. Trust him completely. Let your trust be so solid that you can smile through your trials, knowing that your heavenly Father is working out all things for the good of those who love him. Jesus is in control. In John chapter 18, we read here that in verse 19, they had no charge to bring against Jesus. And so they asked him to incriminate himself. Verse 21 of John 18, none of Jesus' disciples were around to be a witness for him. Nobody gave witness to his guiltless life, to his innocent life. Nobody gave witness to him. Verses 22 through 23 of John 18, they struck Jesus in the face, showing that the meeting was out of control and totally informal. Verse 24 of John 18, they sent Jesus then to Caiaphas, the high priest, because they were at a loss. You know, when life goes crazy, we tend to ask why. Why? I just needed this one weekend, God, to go good. Why? I just needed this day to go good, Lord. Why? And Jesus might be even at times asking the same thing to his heavenly Father during this last day on earth. What is going on? Why? Why did Jesus have to die? Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. If Jesus didn't die, then you, my friend, would have to pay your own wage. We don't have to pay it. It's been paid. It's been paid. We're all worried about how to pay these days, aren't we? Do I have enough? Will I have enough? Can I last? Can I keep going with this amount? Do I need to make more? I've got wages. I've got bills. I've got debt. I got mortgages. I got all these things. I got all these things. I got all these things. You know what? Jesus paid it all. He paid the wage that you owed. Why did Jesus rise from the dead? Why did he come back alive? He died. Isn't that enough? Man, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, Paul says, then your faith is useless. and you are still guilty of your sins. Everything Jesus went through atoned for a mistake made by you and me. Jesus died on a tree, completely restoring what happened in the Garden of Eden when we violated that tree. He went right back to the very first sin and restored what was stolen from the tree. His hands were pierced because with our hands, we steal and we murder and we do injustice. But he has restored everything that we've ever done with our hands. His feet were pierced, signaling the very first messianic prophecy, which involves the actual feet of Jesus. I'll read it to you now in Genesis 3, verses 14 through 15. Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed." See, he tempted Eve. So they said, you know, if that fruit really did give you the knowledge, the wisdom of God and become like God, why didn't the snake eat it? You see, the world will entice you with something that it knows is terrible. It won't even touch it. Here, come on. And God told that snake, verse 14, "Because you've done this, you are cursed more than all animals. Domestic and wild, you will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." Crushed. He will crush you. His side was pierced because Eve came from Adam's side. Atonement for temptation. A crown of thorns was put on his head because the ground was cursed because of the sin of Adam and Eve. God cursed the ground and said, "Oh, your labor will be tough and the ground will produce thorns and thistles. And it's going to be dry and difficult and rocky and hard to create a harvest." But the crown of thorns has restored and fixed all that. Jesus fulfilled every prophecy, atoned for every sin that day. Jesus was completely and totally in control. And he's still completely and totally in control today. Listen to what Jesus told his followers after he rose from the dead. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth." I have been given total control, total authority of everything in heaven and on earth. You know, when we open our eyes in the morning, we see battles. But Jesus, he sees a victory. We see mountains to climb. Jesus sees a mountain moved. When we walk through shadows, you know, the Bible even says that this world is like walking through a shadow. It's like we're seeing the world through a dimly lit glass. Difficult to see really what's going on. We walk through shadows. Jesus shines bright his love. Sometimes all we see are ashes. Jesus sees something beautiful. When all you see is a cross, God saw an empty tomb. There's a powerful testimony of a man named Howard who made every wrong decision you ever could with a life. He says, "If life was a test, I failed. I failed completely on every front, every aspect, everything you could ever imagine, every sin. I participated in it. I did it. I mocked God. I mocked Christians. I did everything I could." He was a professor at a school. He said one time a nun took his class and she came in her regalia and her, you know, dressed like a nun. And before the first class even started, he confronted her and stood over her and said, "You will not bring any kind of Christian religion into this class." Intimidating a nun. He lived an absolutely terrible life. He says, "If you could draw a picture of what I had created my life to be, I would have been roadkill on the side of the road and nobody would have wanted me. But Jesus came over and picked me up." That's what we were like. You were not desirable to Jesus before you gave your life to him. You were roadkill on the side of the road, and Jesus came over and picked you up. Go ahead, as you drive home today, spot the first dead thing on the side of the road. Stop your car real fast. Put it in park. Get out of there. And go ahead and pick up that roadkill and bring it close to your chest. He picked you up, and he brought you back to life. If you can't see yourself like that today, maybe I can convince you who you really truly were before Jesus brought you back to life. How good is Jesus today? Everything is out of control. Jesus is completely in control. Let me read to you Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him. Yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Exalt in his holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. Remember the wonders he has performed, his miracles, and the rulings he has given." I want to close with this. When I was in elementary school, I decided to be in the school play. And I was just a young kid. And so young that they didn't give me like a real role. I had no lines. I don't remember doing much. I think I was like, they would make up roles for the kids because there was too many kids to be in the play. But I think the play, if I remember correctly, and Little Lukey in elementary school, Beauty and the Beast. I remember the fifth grade guy who played the Beast. I don't remember who played Belle. But I remember the guy, and I remember he would, during practice, he would recite all these lines from memory. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, this kid is amazing. You know, he's taller than me. He's acting. He seems like so cool. And I want to be in this play too. And I remember learning about the stage and positioning yourself on the stage at the right time and being at the right place and how to move along the stage and to keep your body positioned toward the audience so that, you know, you don't want this. You know, you got to keep, and as you move about the stage, you know, present yourself and learning about this. And then I learned about one thing that kind of confused me. This thing called stage right and stage left. Has anybody heard this? Everybody point to your left. Point to your left. That's stage right. Mind blown. Right? It's confusing. I had never been on a stage before. So when the director would say, "You're going to exit stage left," but we were sitting where you're sitting, staring at her, we all thought that way. But that's stage right. And I remember then, you know, she'd tell us what to do, where to be, and then we'd come up there and she'd say, you know, "Go." And we'd all run off the wrong way. "Stop, stop, stop. You're going the wrong way." "What do you mean?" "You said to go." "No, this is stage right. And this is stage left." I feel like that's what's happening with the world today. Is everybody's confused about which way is right and which way is left. Is that the world says, we're going right. We're going the right way. And I'm sitting in my seat going, "You look like you're going the wrong way." And they're trying to say, "This is right." And I'm looking at them going, "You're wrong. I think this is right." And they're looking at me and they're saying, "You're wrong. Which way is right? Which way is left? Everything's messed up." Jesus is right. Jesus is right. That's the only way I know. I can't put my faith in anything, any program, person, personality, president, politician. They're all out of control. Jesus is right. Jesus is in control. I don't know which way you need to go today. Do you need to go stage right? If that's where Jesus is at, I'm going that way. Don't get confused. Don't follow the world. They're confused about right and left and which way to go. And everybody's confused. And maybe you're even confused right now. Then you need to put your life into the hands of Jesus. John 14:6. Jesus told him, and he's telling it to you today, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says, I'm the way. Come this way. Come this way. Don't go that way. Come this way. You know, if I left the parking lot today and I wanted to go home, there's only a couple ways I could go home. I could turn left out of here and get home. I could turn right out of here and I could get, it would be a terrible idea to turn right out of here for me to get home, but I could do it. I could do it. There's only a few good ways for me to get home. It's limited. And you can't argue with me on how to get to my house. If I tell you the way to get to my house, and you just say, no, 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 that's not the way to your house, I'm going to go a different way, I would just be like, why are you arguing with me? I know the way home. It's my home. And that's what Jesus has been saying for thousands of years. Come home. I'm the way. I'm the way home. And people are like, no, no, I want to go that way. And he's just up there going, why? Why do you want to go that way? That's the long way. You got to go on a long journey before you come back to me and realize, oh, I'm sorry, Jesus. I don't know why. It was like so ignorant. I don't know why I did that. I was just stubborn and full of pride. Why did I do that? And you're going to go a long way around until you finally make it to the right road to get on. Or you could just say, listen, this is the quickest and this is the way to my house. Just go left on Hickory Ridge Road. Left on South Holly. That's the way. Don't detour. There's one way. Go the right way. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes today. Is your life out of control? Are things spinning wildly? You can find yourself watching others make decisions and you think to yourself, what is wrong with them? And then you're getting angry about their decisions and then you're thinking to yourself, why am I so worked up about this? Everything is out of control. The world is out of control. What do I do? Jesus is completely in control today. And he calls out to you. He says, I am the way. With every head bowed and every eye closed, on this wonderful Easter Sunday morning, I want to give you the opportunity to give your life to Jesus, to go the right way. I made this decision when I was in eighth grade. I never turned back. And Jesus calls out to you, come, come with me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you're in this place today and you say, today I choose Jesus, could you let me know who you are so I can pray for you? Could you lift your hand right now? We will not embarrass you. We will not do anything to make you look out of control or do anything silly today, but we got to pray today. We got to pray today, folks. And you just say, that's me, Pastor Lucas. Pray for me. I'm going the Jesus way. Just lift your hand right now. Lift your hand right now. Amen. Amen. Anybody else in this place today say, pray for me, Pastor Lucas. Amen. 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 A whole roll full of a family. Amen. God loves families. Amen. Anybody else today say, pray for me, Pastor Lucas. I'm going the Jesus way. I'm going the Jesus way. Amen. I think I saw another hand go up. Amen. Let's all pray this prayer together, church. All together. Say, oh, Jesus, I give you my life. I thank you, Jesus, that you died for me and you rose again. And I believe in you, Jesus, and I give you my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean. Thank you for paying my wage. I worship you, Jesus. From this day forward, I follow you. I'm going your way. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. A wonderful day of salvation for people at church today. Amen.